Ecclesiastes chapter 7. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. A good name is better than precious ointment, the day of death than the day of one's birth. It is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of a countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. And let's finish on verse 5 together. Ready? It is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Lord, may we never take for granted that more's happened on the property of this place in the last 6 days than most churches will see in a year or even 5 years. Your hand and your presence is obvious here. Now please keep it upon our preacher. May the Holy Spirit please work through him tonight. Father, we need you. America needs you. America needs this place to step forward and take a few more steps ahead to pull this country back for God and even influence the world. Please use our preacher tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This morning I announced to you that this evening's sermon would be slightly attached to the sermon of this morning. In a moment I'll explain that to you more. My only regret, I think, about tonight's sermon is that Dr. Don Smith, the previous pastor, is not here, because I know Dr. Smith loves to hear people preach on the wrong kind of music. And it's no secret to anybody that was here this evening, the title of my sermon is called The Song of a Fool. Next week, we will continue, because I do not have enough time to say everything that I want to say tonight. So next Sunday night, we'll have part number 2, or you may want to say round 2. But this is a 2, maybe a 3-part sermon. The question tonight will not be, is what I'm about to say biblical? The question will be, are you willing to be a biblical Christian? Because indeed, what I say will come from the Bible. Up until the age of 16, I was allowed to listen to the wrong kind of music. My parents were not saved. My parents did not know. I therefore did not have any training. At age 16, I got born again, and let me tell you this. When I was very young, I got involved in music. When I was 4 years old, actually, I started playing instruments. I was a percussionist. I took private lessons from a man by the name of George Mueller. Any of you that would hear the name George Mueller and would know the percussion portion of music, they would know that George Mueller was a writer and a man that put together a lot of what you call rudimental percussion books and things of that nature. Starting at 4 years old, I started taking lessons and studying music. In 1977, I was ranked the second best rudimental snare drum player in the United States of America. Been involved in music all my life. Started taking college level music courses when I was 16 years old. I think Mrs. Owens plays 4 or 5 different instruments herself. So we've been around music all of our life. I was a 16 year old boy. I'd never been taught that there was a right or wrong music. And so, in a sense, there was not a lot of rebellion in my life. I just didn't know. I was lost. I was listening to the music that everybody else was listening to. I got saved. And what a wonderful thing happens when you get saved. Your life begins to change. And I got saved, and I heard a preacher. Now, I love what my preacher said to me. Every once in a while, the preacher would say, when somebody teaches something, you ought to find it in the Bible and see what the Bible says about it. And he used to quote a verse that said, "Let God be true, and every man a liar." And somehow that got deep inside my heart, and I decided, let God be true, and every man be a liar. I want to believe the Bible. I want to know what the Bible said, because the Bible doesn't change. Now, man changes, and music changes, and people change, but God doesn't change. So I wanted to find something so I wasn't a nervous wreck all the time. You know, those of you that are a nervous wreck all the time, what you ought to do is get you some Bibles and sink the Bible into your heart and get some stability in your life and live your life in a predictable fashion, let the Bible tell you what to do, and you wouldn't have all that shakiness about your life. Well, I want to know what the Bible said. I heard a preacher stand up one time and he said, rock and roll music's out of hell. Now, I want to tell you the truth. I've not been saved very long. And I went to that preacher and, honest Injun, as sincerely as I knew how, I went to him and I said, see, remember, my preacher told me, let God be true and every man a liar. And I took that as, if you're going to say something, it'd probably be good if you had a little Bible to back it up somewhere along the way. So I went to this guy, sincere. I went to him after he preached that. I said, sir, I said, would you show me the verse where that is? That rock and roll music's out of hell. He said, well, young man, you know better. I said, well, I was just wondering so I could see it in the Bible. If you could show it to me, it would help me. He said, well, you know better. You've just got a rebellious spirit. Now, honestly, Brother Bush, I didn't have a rebellious spirit. If somebody would have taught me something from the Bible, I would have listened to it. But it didn't take me long to figure it out. When I started looking at the music, even as a dumb bunny 16-year-old boy that had only been saved a couple months, it started occurring to me how filthy it was. And then I started studying the Bible. And then I started finding it. And for the preachers that just got up and threw a fit about it, I thought, well, what they ought to do is get some Bible in on that because it sure makes a difference. I'm going to teach you some of what I've learned through the years. You show me your music, I'll show you the seriousness of your Christianity. The born-again Christians in this house with the crummiest music are the most worldly Christians we have. You just be guaranteed of it. They're probably not soul winners. They probably don't come to church faithfully. They probably live as the world lives, but they're born again. Hey, you show me a church's music, I'll show you the direction that church is going. I can guarantee it. Churches everywhere are rotten to the core anymore.
Yes, sir.
Allowing all sorts of music in their churches. Said, well, that's what the young people want. Well, at night in the morning, you're not supposed to do what the young people want in the church. You're supposed to do what God wants. Said, Brother Lawrence, will you tell me, what's your youth program like around here? Well, we go soul winning. We have preaching. We do good things. We don't have rock concerts for our young people, nor will we. But you show me a church's music, I'll show you the church's direction. You show me a family's music, I'll show the leadership. I'll show you that family's leadership's direction. I'll show you where they're going. You know what I did? Brother Moore, I wanted to know what the Bible said about music. I was tired of taking everybody's word for it, so I started in the book of Genesis, went all the way through the book of Revelation. That's 66 books, 39 Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Looked up every time anything had to do with music. I looked up the word music, musician. I looked up the word harmony, melody, cymbals, sing, singer, singeth, every one of them. I mean, I have every one of them on log from Genesis 1 all the way to the last verse of the last chapter of the book of Revelation. Because I wasn't going to take anybody's word for it. And I started studying it. And I started trying to figure out this thing called music. Now, like I told you, the question tonight won't be if what I'm saying is biblical. The question tonight will be, are you willing to be a biblical Christian? Are you willing to let the Bible be your guide on whatever you do? The title of the sermon tonight is The Song of the Fool. Now, let me read to you again the verse that you read together earlier. We're going to go to verse number 5. Pop your Bible open there if it's a King James. If not, just pop it in the trash. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 5. If you're a visitor by the end of the night, you won't wonder what we stand for. Ecclesiastes, I want you all to know I feel very at liberty tonight. I don't plan to hold back anything. I've not preached like that for a couple of years, and so I'm looking forward to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 5. If you found it there, the Bible says this, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Huh. Now, that's the verse that's going to catapult us into tonight's Bible study massacre. But I want you to notice something. There's a couple of different people from the biblical classifications of people mentioned here. It says you're better to hear the rebuke of the wise man. That's one classification that a Christian can take on, being a wise man. It says you're better to hear the rebuke of a wise man than to hear the song of fools. This morning in the service, I taught you there are three biblical classifications of people. There's the wise the simple, and the fool. You're going to have to let me, for just a few minutes, remind you of those three biblical classifications of people. There were a lot of people that were in junior churches and primary church and nurseries this morning. Some were backslidden and not in church because they were staying home. And I want to bring everybody up to date about exactly what I taught this morning. See, these three biblical classifications of people. Let's start with the wise. The Bible, here's what a wise person is according to the Bible. This is a person that wants to live according to the Bible. They seek Bible truth to live, and when they find it, they live it. You may know a lot of Bible truth, but if you're not living it, then you're not wise. You say, well, I've got a lot of Bible knowledge. You can have all the Bible knowledge you want, but you're just educated beyond your own spiritual character if you don't live it. So it's not a matter of being a theologian. It's a matter of being a good Christian that we're interested in. So what you do if you want to become wise, you seek the Bible, you find the Bible, you live the Bible. That's what the Bible teaches. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 8 says, a wise person receives God's commandments. So if you're wise, you're going to receive the commandments of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 33. Let me read this verse to you real quickly. Proverbs 8, 33, it backs this definition of a wise person. It says, hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not. For you to be a wise person, then you have to hear the instruction of God. You have to receive the instruction of God. Brother Brett, I'm going to use this thing. I told you this morning that to receive the instruction of God, it's like this. Brother Bush, get your songbook there. When you play football, you have receivers. They're out to catch the ball. And the quarterback throws you the ball, you catch it, and if you're smart, you tuck it so they can't yank it out of your hands, and then you head for the goal line. And if you receive the truth of God, you catch it, you tuck it deep in your life, and then you run with it into your life. And if you're wise, you look for the truth. Hey, if you're here tonight looking for a church, let me give you a good piece of advice. You find somebody else, stand on that book and won't apologize. Don't find a church where the deacon board runs the pastor. That does not happen here. The Ladies Missionary Society here, which we don't have one, they don't tell me what to do. The rich people in our church don't tell me what to do. You say, why not? We ain't got no rich people. But if we did, they wouldn't tell me what to do. You better find a preacher that'll stand on the Word of God without apology. You see, a wise person is looking for the truth of God. When they find the truth of God, they then live the truth of God, and that makes them wise. There's another verse that proves this definition of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5. You don't have to turn to it. Let me read it to you. The Bible says here in Proverbs 1, 5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Once again, there's three biblical classifications of people. The first is the wise man. He's looking for the Word of God. He's looking for truth from the Word of God. When he finds it, he says, that's what I've been looking for. I am going to live it. Now, there's a second biblical classification. It is the simple. Now, the simple person. What is this simple person? Well, the simple person is someone that they don't know how God wants them to live. If they're doing wrong, they're not doing wrong because they hate God. They don't have a rebellious spirit. If they're living wrong, they don't know how to live. Nobody's taught them how to live. And I might say also, if they're living right, they just kind of happened onto it. They heard it somewhere and thought that'd be a good way to do it. But they don't have the Bible as their basis. They've not gone to the truth and said, right there it is, in black and white, there it is. I'm going to live it or I'm not going to live it. They don't know that. You see, they don't know how to live. And so the simple person, if they're not living right, it's because they don't know how. If they are living right, it's not because they know it from the Bible. They just happen to be living right. They're a little bit like a blank piece of paper. They don't have any folds in it, no creases in it, nothing written on it. And they don't know. Young converts are simple. Children are simple. They just don't know. I love it. We have so many new converts in our church. I have a heyday teaching the Bible. I really do. I love teaching the Bible to those people that they just don't know what the Bible says. Let me tell you who the hardest one is to preach to. Those of you that you've been around forever and you're not really interested. interested in the truth. Those are the tough ones. I got a letter from a lady that sat right back here. She used to be a member of this church. She's moved out of the area. She said, "Brother Owens, I loved hearing you preach the other night. I love watching the young Christians and the obedient Christians, and I love to watch their expressions while you preach." And she said, "Don't let the old moss backs keep you from preaching the truth. Don't let those people that just, you ain't going to change them no matter what. Don't let them stop you." And I probably won't. And so that was good advice from that lady. But a simple person, they don't know. A simple person, you tell them something and they'll probably believe it because it sounds good to them. But remember now, a wise person is somebody that has the truth. It's right there. They said, "That's what I've been looking for. It's printed in the Bible. I'll live my life that way. I'll be obedient to it." Now, let me give you some verses to prove to you about this simple thing. In Psalm 119, verse number 130, the Bible says this. It says, here we go, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." There the Bible's telling us this simple person does not have understanding. There is a lack of understanding, and the Bible says that God's word sheds light for them. In other words, they're in a certain amount of darkness. Now, they're not in a rebellious darkness. They're in a, I don't know, darkness. I didn't know that. And it, to me, it is so fun to watch some of you new Christians watch the light bulb come on. When I'm preaching, all of a sudden you get a big smile on your face and say, "So, wow, I wanted to know that. I wanted to know what the Bible says about that." And then I can see when the light bulb is burnt out in some of your heads and it doesn't really matter to you. But the simple person, they don't know. And the Bible says here, the Word of God, it gives instruction or understanding unto the simple. Now, in Proverbs 14, verse 15, the Bible says this. It tells us something else about the simple person. It says here, "The simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." Here the Bible says, "The simple believeth every word." What that means is, the simple usually believe the last thing they heard. Now, the last thing they heard probably wasn't from the Bible, but it sounded good. There are a whole bunch of you, you are religiously simple. You don't know what the Bible said. You heard somebody say something about something one time, and you said, "Well, that sounds pretty good. Sounds better than what I heard last time. I think that's what I'll believe." The only problem is, you'll be insecure in your Christianity that way. Because what you need to do is say, "The Bible says it," then it never changes. Those of you that are church hoppers, it won't take you long. If you're looking for a church that will be consistent, I'm still preaching the same thing today that I started preaching when I was a 16-year-old boy. Same book, same standards, same salvation. Why? It's in the Bible. I don't have to hop around. I know what I believe. You need the truth. And the Bible says that the simple person, they usually believe the last thing they heard. I used this illustration briefly this morning. Mrs. Owens, she knows where Walmart is. She's wise about where Walmart is. Mrs. Morales, I know I've seen Brother Morales. Where you at? Brother, right there. Mrs. Morales is brand new in town. And ladies, you need to get to know this lady. She's a fine lady. Just moved in town. Moved her whole family from Michigan to be a part of our church. But Mrs. Morales just got into town. She probably doesn't know where Walmart is. Now, Walmart, so you all know, it's south. But if Mrs. Morales came to me and I wanted to, I could tell her that Walmart is out in Hedgesville. Well, that's not south. Do you know what she'd probably do? She'd probably go to Hedgesville to go look for Walmart. Why? She's simple. She doesn't know. She doesn't have she doesn't have the fact of where Walmart is. She doesn't know. And if she goes out there, is she driving out there saying, "I'm going to the wrong place and I know it, I'm just a rebel"? Oh no, she's going out there thinking she's doing fine. She doesn't have the facts, and so she's simple in her life. There's another verse that backs up the definition of simplicity in Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 5. And so, you know, we could take all night on this. I don't want to. We've got other things to talk about. But Proverbs 8, 5, it says, "O ye simple, understand wisdom. And ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." Here God's saying, I want the simple person to become wise. So in life, when you're simple, you just don't know. Your goal ought to be to find the truth of God. And once you find it, step up to become a wise person by being obedient to what you learn. And so far, we have two biblical classifications of people. We have the wise person. They want the Bible. They seek the Bible. They seek truth and principles to live by, and then they live it. Then you have the simple person. They don't know. If they're doing right, it's not because they know for a fact they ought to do it. They think it's good, but they don't know for a fact. If they're doing wrong, they may not be rebellious. They're just doing it. That's just how it is. They just have to be doing wrong. But wait a minute. Now, there's a third biblical classification. That's the fool. The fool. Now, what is this fool? The fool is a truth rejecter. The fool is someone that despises the truth. They reject the truth. They don't want the truth. They've heard the truth. But they're not interested in the truth. And there are verses to back that definition. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 16. Listen to this very carefully. The Bible says in Proverbs 17, 16, "Wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it?" What that means is, if there was a price set for wisdom, the fool wouldn't buy it. Why? He didn't want it. Now, I'm going to tell you, everybody here, it's a preacher night. I'll tell you something. If I could buy wisdom, I'd take every penny I had and I'd buy me a dump truck load. Because the Bible says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to see life the way that God sees it. If you could see the Scripture the way that God sees it, if you could see your marriage the way that God sees it, if you could see the rearing of your kids the way that God sees it, I want wisdom for my church. Why? I want my church God's way. Not the denomination's way. Not everybody else that wants to put pressure on my church. I want my church God's way. I want to see it God's way. I want to see the people God's way. I want to see my marriage God's way. Not even through my own eyes. My eyes are tainted. We're not talking about worldly wisdom. We're talking about biblical wisdom. And the Bible tells us here, if you offered wisdom to a fool, and he said, "I'll give you wisdom for a penny." He said, "I have no heart for it. I wouldn't pay you a penny for it. Not interested in it." Now, what else? What else helps us understand the fool? The Bible says in Proverbs 23:9, listen to this verse. It's about the fool. Proverbs 23:9, the Bible says, "Speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the words of thy wisdom." You know what that says? If you're a fool, listen to this, if you're a fool, and I preach the truth to you from the Bible, you'll despise what I say. If what I preach to you tonight is from the Bible, and you despise me for saying it, guess what you are? Bible says they will despise the words of thy wisdom. They don't want it. They don't want it. They're not interested in it. They'll hate the messenger and the message. Why? They're a truth rejecter. There's another verse I want to read to you. Another verse about the fool. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 7, it says, "The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish doth not so." Now the Bible says, "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh," which is actually saying to you, the wise has something to say you should listen to. The fool, he doesn't have wisdom in his heart, he has foolishness in his heart, so what comes out of his mouth? Well, the book of Luke says, "Out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh," and if you are a fool in your heart, that means what you speak is foolish. Because you speak out of what is in your heart in abundance. And ushers, when she comes back in, just have her have a seat in the back. Folks, I need you to sit still. What I need you to do is go to the potty before we start church, okay? If you'd all just take care of that, it'd keep us from having interruptions during church. I'm not mad at anybody, but boy, it just seems like we have people get up and walk around all the time, and I need you to sit still. I hate to tell you, I happen to think something real big's happening in here tonight, and it's very serious, and I don't want anybody's attention stolen away from the preaching of the Word of God. So, we have three biblical classifications of people. You have a simple person, they don't know. They're not necessarily rebellious. They're just like a clean sheet of paper. They need someone to come along and write the right things into their hearts. Now, once they're taught, if they obey, they become wise. And so you've got a wise person. They're interested in the Bible. They're looking for the Bible. They want to live the Bible. And when they're taught it, they live it. The simple person, they don't. But if they reject the Bible, they become a fool. When they say, "I don't want it, I'm not interested in it, I'm not going to obey it, I despise the messenger and the message," they are a fool according to the Word of God. Now, that helps us along the way here, because the Bible says that there is somebody out there that produces music. They produce a song called the Song of the Fool. But wait, I want to show you something. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 14. Psalm chapter 14 is interesting to me. This will help some of you. Psalm 14, verse number 1. I want to use this for a second because I want you to understand something. Psalm 14, verse number 1. We've got to hurry. Psalm 14, 1. The Bible says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Now, look back at me, if you will, please. Notice, look back down at your Bible. Notice the words there, "there is." Now, in your Bible, are the words "there is" in italics? All right, now, we don't change the Bible. We're not going to tamper with the Bible. But let me tell you, I believe from the time that that verse was written to now, God saw fit to insert those words in there so us English-speaking people could understand it. It is God that wrote the Bible. Man may have held a pen, but God put his hand on the back of man's hand and wrote exactly what he wanted so we would have a Bible in the English language called the King James Bible. Now, we're not going to take that out. But let me tell you what that says. The fool in his heart has said, there is no God. So what the fool does, they deny that there is a God. But if you took those two words out, which we should not do, but listen, if you took it out, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, no God. No God. Let me explain that to you. The atheist may try to say there is no God. The Christian just says no to the God that is. There are some of us just say no to the God that is. Hey, it's written right. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In other words, maybe the fool said in his heart, there will be no God in this area of my life. There will be no God in this area of my life. Or, no, God, I will not let you control every area of my life. I think you're beginning to catch it by now. In the last, 26 months, you figured out, I happen to believe the Bible from cover to cover, and I think that every aspect of our life should be lived by that book because God loves you and He knows the best way for you to live. And the fool has said in his heart, no! Even, hey, let's just take it. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Is there a God? Yes. So he is basically saying no to the God that is. He's saying no to the God that is. His answer to God is no. You be careful, though, Christian, because you could get that attitude. You could say no to the God that is. You could say, no, God, you're not going to control me. No, God, you're not going to control my life. No, God, you're not going to control my Bible. No, God, you're not going to control my mind. No, God, you're not going to control my music. The fool is the one that says no to God. No to God's what? God's Word, God's truth, God's principles, God's guidelines. Now the fool, he says, I don't want it. Not interested in it. Now remember, three biblical classifications of people. The wise, the simple, and the fool. And let me say to every one of you, if you are simple about wrong music, I'm so glad you're here to learn it. Because I want you to learn. I want you to learn the Bible. I'm your friend. If you're wise, you're going to get even wiser as we study the Bible. If you're a fool, you'll do one of two things tonight. You will either submit to God and choose to become wise and start doing right in regard to your music, or you'll continue to be a fool. You'll despise me and my message and leave here mad. Now, you just do your own little Bible study of everything I've said so far and see if you can figure out a way out of it, but you won't. That's exactly what the Bible's teaching. Huh. This verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 1, let me read it to you again. Ecclesiastes 7, 5, it says this. It says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise man than for a man to hear the song of fools. Now look back at me. I can only be a wise man if I live and preach the truth. I'm not a wise man because I'm Jeff Owens. But if I have any wisdom about me, it is the wisdom to preach the Bible. Look right up this way, folks. Look right up this way. It is the wisdom to preach. Brother Montgomery, if you need to, you can let her go. It is the wisdom that I use to preach the Bible. Everybody look right this way, okay? look right this way. Someone help her out. All right? I could kill myself just trying to keep your attention. The Bible says you're better off letting a wise man, who somebody's preaching the Bible, rebuke you than for you to hear the Song of Fools. Why? The Song of Fools will destroy you. Whoever does this music thing, they're destroying you. And God said if you had any sense, you'd let a wise man that loves you all the way to the point of feeling rebuked. You may leave here tonight saying, I feel like I just got a spiritual spanking. I feel like I've been rebuked. It's what the Bible says you'll feel like. You're better off doing that than listening to the Song of Fools. Now, picture this. God says there are some people who produce music and they're fools. What's a fool? Truth rejecter. God rejecter. Bible rejecter. They make music. Now it says you're better off to hear the rebuke of a wise man than to hear the song of fools. Now, that means that if you hear it, you're a fool too. They produce it. They're fools. You listen to it. You're a fool for listening to the fool's music. You say, well, you should not call anyone a fool. I haven't. Now, if you are under conviction about it, I guess the Holy Spirit did that, huh? I didn't call you a fool. Somebody else must have taken care of that. We're not even there yet. This is the introduction. So he said to me, why don't you show me the word rock and roll in the Bible? It's not there. You show me, you'll get this in West Virginia, you show me where country music's found in the Bible. It's not there. You show me where the word rap music, God's against rap music in the Bible. The word rap music is not in the Bible. You show me where the New Age music, you show me where God talks about it in the Bible. The word New Age is not in there. You show me where Christian rock and roll, you show me where God talks about it in the Bible. He doesn't. That ought to tell you something just right there. Notice he doesn't mention any of it. Wonder why? What does God call it? God calls it the Song of the Fool. And the Song of the Fool takes care of every truth-rejecting music that's out there. Every one of them. You know, you take country. I borrowed some albums, or these are CDs. I borrowed these from Brother Bajent. Any of you ever hear of Toby Keith? Listen to this. Listen to this music. Some of you listen to this trash. The first song is called I Love This Bar. Well, that sounds like it's good, wholesome stuff for you. How about this? Whiskey Girl. That's not a misprint. This is not about a woman with a beard. It's not Whisker Girl. It's Whiskey Girl. Here's one called Don't Leave, I Think I Love You. Here's one called The Critic. God knows our churches are full of criticism today. Here's one called The Taliban Song. The name of this CD is shocking, y'all. Yeah, it probably is shocking. From the sounds of it, sounds like a fool must have did something there, huh? Some of you listen to that. If you listen to the Song of the Fool, what does that make you? You say, I don't like that. You're not going to like the truth. By the way, you just face that book straight up. You face that book straight up. Preachers everywhere are afraid to tell the truth about bad music today because afraid that somebody's going to leave their congregation. I don't want anybody to leave my congregation, but I'm going to tell you something. That kind of trash is why you got halfway Christians all over the place that won't live right. And the preacher won't say anything. It's wrong and it's sin. I've got a CD here by Def Leppard. This is about a cat that can't hear, I think. It's called Adrenalize. Man, I adrenalize. Whatever that means. Maybe I don't. Here's one called Let's Get Rocked. Now, if that's replacement for Let's Get Stoned, what's it talking about? It's talking about drugs, or it's talking about alcohol, both of which are filthy, rotten sins. And if you're doing drugs or alcohol, you're not right with God. But you know something? Let's just for a second. Here's some REO Speedwagon, and I could get others. Brother Agent has a whole collection. But wait a minute. let's take this. Get rocked. Do you know where the term rock and roll came from? And by the way, tonight I'm preaching against all songs of the fool. All of them. Whether it's country or rock or Christian rock or rap. You say, Christian rock? Well, take just a second here and reason with me. Do you know where the term rock and roll came from? It was a disc jockey expression for sex. We're rocking and rolling. And so you listen to Christian rock and roll. Explain that to me. That's why your churches are full of boys and girls having sex out of wedlock. They're listening to sex out of wedlock music. And so you all understand you're not supposed to have sex with anybody till you're married to them. And if you do, you are committing fornication. And if you're having sex with somebody that you're not married to and you're married to somebody else, it's called adultery. And this kind of music is full of that trash. And so, you know, preachers used to preach like this. They used to preach like this. All right, point number one. Somebody is producing music. Who? Well, God, all the way back in the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, says, the fools will start producing music. And boy, have they. Boy, have they. They are producing music. And the only reason they can produce it and keep producing it is because there are people that buy it and keep buying it. So this fool produces music. I'm going to guess if we can figure out what the Bible says about the fool, we can figure out what his music will be like. So let me show you something. First of all, one who sings the song of fools will think that sin is humorous. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 9, the Bible says this. Fools make mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Here the Bible says a fool will make mock of sin. That means these people called fools produce music. And somebody that listens to it is acting foolishly because they're listening to the music of the fool. And the Bible says that the fool, they think they make mock, or they make sport of this thing called sin. Hey, boy, does that not sound like the musicians of our day? I'm sorry. I'll apologize to you. I'm not in the rock and roll culture. Though I could get some of you to come up here and help me, because you could tell me all the latest bands are, whether they're country or Christian rock or rock and roll or rap. You could help me with it, because you know them all. Matter of fact, in the next minute, when I mention a couple of groups that are old time groups, that they're the only ones I know from years ago, you're going to say, man, I wish he knew the new ones. That just proves how sad you are. And you'll think that what I'm teaching, because I mentioned a couple old groups, you'll think that I'm outdated because I'm using the wrong groups. But the truth of the Bible is never outdated. It's never outdated. No matter what illustration I happen to pull out of my hat, it's still a truth from the Bible. And one who sings the song of fools will think sin is humorous. Proverbs 14:9. There was a group that when the rap groups came out and they were pretty hot and heavy at the beginning, there was a group called Two Live Crew. Any of you remember the group called Two Live Crew? Not many of you have the courage to raise your hand at this point for anything. But Two Live Crew. And I'm telling you something, I couldn't believe the filth. I could not believe the filth. The rap music and all the filth contained in it. The drugs, the sex. And just think about it. Just think about it. The more four-letter words that you can get, the better off you are. And they think it's funny. They call it entertainment. Folks, when sin becomes entertainment, you have a filthy society. That is entertainment. Music is a universal language, someone said. Well, then, I'm a universal idiot because I can't understand most of it. Two Live Crew, they were so vulgar that they started banning them from certain cities. When our liberal government bans something, it's got to be bad. They had T-shirts printed that said banned in Chicago, Rosemont Horizon, banned in Atlanta. So they made money off of their T-shirts that said they were banned for being filthy. A fool will think that sin is humorous. Matter of fact, some of you listen to the music and you just think that's funny. All the filth in it, it's funny to you. Ha 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 ha. Well, you'll be laughing if you're sitting with God. You wouldn't be laughing. And if you're sitting out there saying, get them rock and rollers. Have you checked on the country western folks and their morality recently? West Virginia? You think it's okay if you got a pair of cowboy boots on, but I got news for you. Sin, sin. Somebody living like an animal, somebody living like an animal. And might I say, the country of today was the rock and roll of 15 years ago. I got to just check up on it. You'll see. So one who sings a song of fools thinks that sin is humorous. We're only going to get to point number two. You'll be glad. I'm tired. We'll go home in just a minute. Point number two. One who sings a song of fools causes his or her parents sorrow, according to the Bible. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 25, the Bible says this. Proverbs 17, 25, a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. Okay, what's that teaching? The Bible teaches the wrong kind of music in a home will bring contention in the home. The Bible teaches the wrong kind of music, a fool's music, will cause mama sorrow. Let me ask you a question, parents. Those of you that your children are just as wild as they can be, breaking your heart, destroying you. You've cried, you've wept. What kind of music do they listen to all the time in your house? The Bible says here, the fool causes contention with mom and dad. Look, you're not going to have violent music without having violence. Hey, husband, beating on your wife, which is sad, you twerp. What kind of music do you listen to? You got a violent nature? One who sings a song of fools causes his or her parents sorrow, Proverbs 17:25. Hey, young people. Are you fighting with mom and dad? Mom and dad say, turn that stuff off. Always fighting and fussing about it? Turn that stuff off. And I'll tell you what they're going to say. Well, you listen to stuff you shouldn't listen to. It's just got a little different beat and we're wearing cowboy boots while you listen to it. Wrong music causes grief. Cause grief to your Heavenly Father, too. He's the most important one. Let me ask you. Would you give me all your music and let me read all the titles here in church so everybody could see it? Oh, no, no way. Well, guess what? I'm a human. There's somebody far more holy and important than me. His name is Jehovah God. He reads it every day. Do you know who created music? It wasn't Columbia House. Although, I love getting all the stickers. I can prove to you who created it. It was around before man was ever created. Go back to Job chapter 38, somewhere around there. Wonder why he created it. Since you weren't here, he must not have created it for you. Maybe he created it for himself. Revelation chapter 4, verse number 11. He created all things for himself. If you're taking his music and using it for the wrong reason, you've stole something he created for himself. Would you put your CD in and say, God, this one's for you? While we're listening to Toby Keith. Here, God, this one's for you. I love this bar. And if you listen to Toby Keith, you're not right with God. That's filth. That's fool. That's foolish music. And guess what? Guess who you're going to get mad at? Me. This is a no-win situation. I hide behind the Word of God and you get mad at me anyway. Do you think Madonna's mother is proud of her for being a whore? Do you think Madonna's mom was glad when her and whoever it was, the other lesbian, were French kissing on national television a year and a half ago? You think Mama sat back there and said, "Go for it, baby"? She was shamed. And whether Janet Jackson's mother will admit to it or not, when she uncovered her body to all of the United States of America, her mama probably went to bed that night and said, "I can't believe what has happened to my daughter." No mama wants her daughter to be loose. No daughter wants her mama to be a lesbian. No daughter wants her mama to be a whore. And don't you tell me that mama's proud of all that. Oh, mom might get sucked in on some of the money and the fun of the money. You won't convince me that a mom wants her daughter to be like that. Don't you tell me that Ozzy Osbourne, who used to bite bats' heads off to get over the jet lag when he was going to a rock and roll concert, don't tell me that there's Ozzy fans. Let me tell you all something. The best thing for you to do when I preach is not go. Because that makes me want to go around the block and ring the bell again, baby. Ozzy Osbourne is a pervert. If you listen to Black Sabbath, just think about it for a second. The Sabbath was a day for God, and it's not supposed to be black. It's supposed to be clear and white and pure. And if you're listening to it, it's filthy music. Black Sabbath, one of their biggest selling albums all the way back in the late 70s was an album called We Sold Our Soul for Rock and Roll. Or maybe you want AC/DC, Alternating Current, Direct Current. It's talking about a bunch of homo faggots. I'm trying to tell you something. There's so much trash out there, it's pathetic. They sang, "I'm on a highway to hell." Yes, they are. You say, "You mad?" I'm mad at the devil. And if you're here tonight and you're a visitor and you're going, it'll be okay. There is air outside the building. What you're not used to is someone to tell you the truth. And by the way, somebody that loves you enough to tell you the truth. Don't tell me when someone says they sold their soul for rock and roll. Don't tell me people that are promoting sodomy. Don't tell me that they're your heroes. Surely not. Have you ever heard the verse? Have you ever heard the verse that whoever you're around, that's who you're apt to be like? Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Huh. These people that are fools, they're rejectors, they produce music. And they find people that buy it. And that listen to it. And we're only on point two. And it's 25 after 8. And I'm sad. I am really sad right now. You do not know the grief I'm experiencing, Brother Jones. But you see, I've got 20 more points. Brother Nash, it's your fault. The song service was too long. This trash, Def Leppard, REO Speedwagon, Toby Keith. It's time for some of you to become good Christians. It really is. Now, we're going to talk about this some more. We're going to study the Word of God some more next Sunday night. And I'll teach you some more. But let me tell you, there's some of you, you'll prefer not to be here. Why? Because you may have to face the fact that you're living foolishly. You can't be a good Christian and listen to rock and roll music. By the way, that's why some of you teenagers have such a struggle. In my home, rock music was not allowed at all. I was the parent. I was not a captive. You couldn't control yours. If they listened to it, they snuck to listen to it. By the way, I didn't listen to it. So I didn't have to let them listen to it because I listened to it. The Bible says this. You better to hear the rebuke of a wise man than to hear the song of fools. And fool will despise the words of your wisdom. Let me ask you a question. Are you mad at me? You mad at me? How mad are you?
Are you really, really, really mad?
That means you're really, really, really a... Oh, don't be going around saying that about people. There's only two people here that know right now. That's you and the Holy Spirit. How you feeling according to the Word of God? If you're here tonight and you're not born again, let me tell you something. I didn't expect you to understand. There's probably somebody here, you're not saved, and you're there, and you're so frustrated right now, you don't know what to do. You're saying, this does not really make sense to me. Let me tell you what you need. You need to get saved. Because if you get saved, God moves within you, and then the things of God begin to make sense to you. When you look around that unsaved person and you're frustrated right now, when you look around the auditorium, you see these people that are excited about this. They're smiling. They're actually enjoying this. You say, I don't understand it. The reason they're that way is because God lives within them. And the Spirit of God that lives in them believes the Word of God. That's why they smile and say yes. If you say, this is frustrating to me, maybe you're not saved. Though I would not question your salvation if you tell me you are saved. You say, I'm frustrated and I'm saved. Then that's easy. You're backslidden.
Yes, sir.
And that's easy to take care of. You say, well, whatever the Bible says, I'll get right. It's not hard to do. Music is very powerful. It takes a lot of powerful scripture to help overcome it. You just keep coming back the next couple Sunday nights. It looks like you're going to take two more because I only got 2 points. 2 points a night, that means 10 weeks. But we'll do it faster than that. I promise. You may find this hard to believe. I am your friend. I love you. I've taught the Word of God. And just be careful. Because your music tells me a little bit about your Christianity. If you're a guest here, the music in this church is the old-time religion music. I'm not going to have a drum set or an electric guitar. Brother Nash will tell you, every song that this choir sings, we go through it with a fine-tooth comb and make sure there is no false doctrine in it. We make sure that all the doctrine matches up with that Bible, and we don't care who wrote it or where it came from. We don't trust anybody but God. And it's going to stay that way. He said, well, I was looking for a church with a bunch of contemporary music. You found the wrong one. We're not going to have it.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.